Thank you, Michael, for reading our scripture passage today. Tough one. It's been a question a lot of people have asked me lately. How do we love our enemy? Have compassion for everyone you meet, even if they don't want it. What seems like bad manners, cynicism, or conceit is always a sign of things no eyes have seen or ears have heard. You don't know what wars are going on down where the spirit meets the bone. But ring the bells that still can ring. Forget your perfect offering. There's a crack in everything. That's how the light gets in. James Lawson Jr. was 8 of 12 siblings. His family was deeply rooted in the church. His grandfather was a beloved pastor. And because of that, from an early age, Lawson was aware that he belonged and that he was human, a human worthy of love and respect, regardless of how others treated him because of his black skin. He grew up in my neck of the woods in Massillon, Ohio in the 1930s. And despite the sense of acceptance he experienced in his community, he also experienced the humiliating and dehumanizing effects of racism and prejudice as early as the age of 4 years old. His dad taught him to stay strong, defend himself, fight back if you need to. While his mother taught him to be like Jesus. She taught him that any mistreatment of other people was simply not allowed in Jesus' teachings. One day when he was 11 years old, his parents sent him to run an errand to a local grocery store. And he retrieved the items that they needed, had his grocery bag in hand, walking through the parking lot. When a white child sitting on a nearby bench called James a word this white boy was taught, a word he had learned was okay to call anyone with James's level of melanin. He called him the N-word. And like a punch to the gut, James felt his humanity bruised by that word. Rage, fury, and anger filled him, which is an appropriate response to such a word. With his father perched on one shoulder, defend yourself, fight. And his mother on the other, God's love through Jesus. Which do you think he chose? Maybe ask yourself, what would your 11-year-old self have done in that situation? He went over to the boy, he set his bag on the ground, and unleashed the hardest slap he could have mustered across that boy's face. And the other kid cried, holding his face, running for the comfort of a parent. James went home and immediately reported to his mother, who responded to him this way, "Jimmy, what good did that do? Really, what good did that do?" And then she said the words that changed his life forever. There has to be a better way. There has to be a better way. Reverend James Lawson Jr. would become the architect to the nonviolent actions of the civil rights movement, teaching the philosophy and the practice of a nonviolent life. He was studying with Gandhi in India when a desperate Martin Luther King Jr. urged him to come back to the United States to teach, not about giving up, not about fighting fire with fire, but to teach a third way, a better way. The Gospel of Luke, more than any other gospel, fully captures the social temperature and constant resistance to God's ways of love. In his hometown, Jesus' simple message of loving the poor, the oppressed, the marginalized, the imprisoned, was enough for them to try to hurl him off the mountain to his death. Lurking in the shadows of every teaching is a Pharisee or a scribe, questioning, interrupting, dismissing love that heals on the Sabbath, love that associates with women, love that feeds and restores others, that they would rather not have that. And there are several places in the gospel where the Pharisees and scribes would have taken a more heavy-handed approach, if you will, if it weren't for the size of Jesus' crowds and the good news popularity. And so while Jesus' compassion for all people runs deep, he may have begun to realize that his followers were struggling with, wrestling with those who went out of their way to harm them, to harass them, to call them names. They felt shoved, bullied, mistreated, and were struggling with how to get back at them. Is it an eye for an eye? You hit me, I hit you. And so we can imagine Jesus is thinking about, how am I going to talk about this? How am I going to preach this love in which I am connected to? And Jesus is prompted then to teach his most radical teaching, saying, "But I say to you who are listening," which is interesting, he might have assumed some people weren't going to listen to this. "But I say to you who are listening, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. If anyone strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also." His followers must have heard this and thought, "How can I love my enemies? Why would I love those who make my life miserable? Am I really supposed to just let them walk all over me, hit me, shout things at me?" I want to divert just for a moment, because I think this is important here, and I believe it, that God never desires you to remain in an abusive or oppressive situation, that there are some people who have not earned your presence and aren't worthy of your time or even your spirit. And so while loving your enemy, you must not forget to love yourself and God's love for your well-being. God's love in this passage is often interpreted as submissive, obliging, soft, even self-sacrificial to forces that do harm. However, I want to remind us that through God, through Jesus, God's love is not submissive. It's transformative. It's not submissive, but transformative. So how can we love enemies? How can we love the person who is out to get us, or who want us to be afraid, who want us to struggle, who want us to take away our sense of safety? How can we love the person who makes us angry? How can we love the person when we want to put them in their place and have them feel just a taste of what we're feeling? To this, spiritual teacher Richard Rohr, one of my favorites, offers us this warning. He says, "If we do not transform the pain we receive from others, we will most assuredly transmit it." If we don't transform it, we will transmit it. If we take the hate, the curses, the mistreatment, and do not form it into something that God can use towards love, then we will pass that on. And you know it's true. This is true for families. It's true for nations. When those once bullied then become the bullies. What Jesus is teaching his followers is to practice a love so powerful that it shatters those patterns. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? What change can take place in the world if you only love those who love you? If you do good only to those who do good to you, how can goodness really be shared or spread? In other words, this love of God, this love Jesus taught, is not intended just for the poor or for friends or for family, but those that don't like us, those that don't speak like us, look like us, or vote like us. God's radical love extends even through to them. The Buddhist teacher Thich Nhat Hanh writes it in this way: human beings are not our enemy. Our enemy is not the other person. Our enemy is the violence, the ignorance, and the injustice that is in us and in other people. He continues, when we are armed with compassion and understanding, we fight not against other people, but against the all too common tendencies to invade, to dominate, or to exploit. Human beings are not our enemy. Before us is a child of God. Before us is a life, a story of events that have shaped a human being. Before us is someone with needs just like ours, a need to feel accepted, loved, and safe. And if we hate anything, it's what God hates. It is injustice and prejudice, false notions of who is better and who is worse, who is worthy or unworthy, who deserves safety and who does not. That is the real enemy. Human beings are not the enemy. Jesus shows us that we can and must love our enemies. We can and we must find compassion for them. At the same time, we can and must live a third way that joins God in creating peace, shalom, for all people. Reverend James Lawson Jr. was fiercely committed to God's love that could confront enemies known as Jim Crow America. Rooted in love, he trained thousands of activists to engage not people, but racism and xenophobia. He held workshops where people listened to the words that would be shouted out at them. They practiced what to do with their body when someone attacked it. They even role-played what to do, and ironically for James, is when someone slapped you in the face. One student who was forever impacted by his nonviolent training said this: Lawson did not teach us to roll up into a ball and put our hands over our head. He trained us to face our enemy eye to eye, so that what you are doing is not a reaction, allowing them to control your behavior so you are retaliating. What you are doing is giving the better example. You are turning the other cheek. They are showing how ugly they can react towards you. And you are trying to show how loving you can act towards them. It's not easy. But the good news today, and the challenge of today, is to love your enemies. Love those who hate you. Love those that curse you. Love those that mistreat you. Love because God loves. Because it breaks the cycle. Love because it's the only thing that will lead to change. Love boldly and with courage. With all your heart, love. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.